Please help yourself. Now let's see what's going on down in Pine Ridge. Well, as we look in on the little community today, we find Squire Skin from the Jotham Down Store and Restaurant talking to Lum about the mysterious voice.
Lum, you're fully convinced that Abner has no connection at all with the voice, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was wrong about that, Squire.
Well,
he's been just as scared as any of the rest of us. And all he was hiring Fenders for was just to be his bodyguard.
Yes, I know that. But now, Lum, are you sure that that isn't just another story that he told you? Something else to throw you off the track?
Oh, no. I can tell when Abner's telling a story. It's glowed all over his face. He couldn't hide nothing. His eyes sort of bug out when he's telling one.
Well, I didn't think myself that Abner would do a thing like that. But on the other hand, he was the only person we've found so far that has had anything that resembled a motive for making these mysterious phone calls, too.
Well, to tell the truth, Squire, I doubt if Abner even knows what a motive is.
Well, Lum, why was he so secretive about hiring Cedric for this job and his bodyguard?
Well, the whole thing about that was he didn't want to admit that he was that scared. See, none of the rest of us had bodyguards, so he never wanted to know that he had one.
Oh, yes, I see, yes.
On top of that, he figured it looked extra silly for him to have a bodyguard when he never even got a call from the boys.
Yes, well, of course, those calls that you got at the store might have been for him, mightn't it? You just happened to answer the telephone.
Well, that's the excuse Abner was using, all right.
Yes, well, to be honest, Lum, I never did think it was Abner. I was just following your deductions to see where they'd lead to. No, I think we've got to look elsewhere for our mysterious voice.
Yeah, now that I think about it, it was pretty ridiculous to speak to Abner. And it's even more ridiculous to think he'd ever be using Cedric for the voice. Cedric couldn't get on the telephone and talk in a mysterious voice like that. I'm starting to giggle.
Yes, no, this isn't the work of a boy like Cedric. And I'll tell you, Lum, if these calls continue, I suggest that we call a meeting of some kind here, too.
A meeting?
Yes, organize a citizens' investigating committee or something like that and look into this thing.
Wait a minute, Squire. I want you to see something.
What?
Look out in front there.
What is it, Lum?
Abner and his bodyguard.
Oh, yes.
It is sort of comical when you think about it. Look at Cedric running from tree to tree. Thinks he's hiding.
He looked more natural swinging from branch to branch.
Somebody take out after Abner, Cedric never even seen him. He's so busy hiding behind them trees. Look at him. Looks like he's stalking a moose.
Yeah, I don't know, but I believe Abner'd be a whole lot safer without that boy trailing along behind him with a loaded shotgun that way.
Yeah, that does seem sort of like asking for it, don't it?
You know, wait a minute. Has Abner got on colored glasses there?
Well, Jenny's, I believe he has.
Why, yes, he has. Who the world?
I wonder what them are for. What if he thinks there's going to be a cliff today? Looks more like rain.
Yes, it does look like it's clouding up for rain. So he bumped right into that post there on the porch. Must be the glasses.
He's going to kill himself one of these days if he ain't careful.
Yeah, well, of course, it's just like that voice keeps telling us, you know, death strikes without warning, all right?
He quit reminding me that. Come on in here, Abner, and take off them glasses so you can see where you're going. For pity's sake, I know that you'd do something like that.
Who put all them tin cans right out in the middle of the floor there?
They weren't out in the middle of the floor. You was heading in the wrong direction.
Huh?
Now take off them glasses before you kill yourself.
Oh, yeah, maybe I better. Yeah, hard to see through. I believe I put too much black paint on them cans.
Now you can just stack them cans right back where they was at.
Right now?
No, in a minute. What in the world did you put them on for in the first place?
Well, Lum, I'm trying to disguise myself a little bit. Hello, Squire.
Yes, how are you today, Abner?
Oh, probably, I reckon. See, if that mysterious voice is around town, why, don't pay to let yourself be thrown around looking like yourself, you know.
Well, them glasses ain't gonna fool nobody. You look like you all it did, except a little sillier. I don't know what you're so scared about anyway. You ain't got no calls from the boys.
No, but I bound you I will. Earl Pomeroy got one last night.
Earl Pomeroy?
What's this, Abner?
Yeah, they called last night. Earl was sitting there in his parlor and his phone rang. Ain't you sort of scared about it?
Why, no. It's the first I knowed about it.
Well, what did the boy say, Abner, about the same thing he said to the rest of us?
No, well, I get the story. He said something about disasters hitting him.
Disaster?
Yeah. Then he said something about a fire. I forget now just what words he used. Miss Palmore told it to Miss Crenshaw, and she told Elizabeth. That's how I found out about it.
Well, I do know. Born girl about a far, huh?
Yeah, well, the way I got it from the women folks.
Well, whoever it is, it looks like he's branching out. Wait a minute. Hope that ain't our ring. I grant it is. Abner, you answer the phone.
No. You take the squire. You're closer to it. Well, after all, it's your telephone, not mine. I shouldn't be answering other people's telephones.
Well, that's all right, Squire. We don't mind.
No, I'd rather not, Lum. That's the hardest thing to do.
There it is again. Abner, get up there and answer that. I've taken a chance on answering it a couple of times before you got here. It's your turn now.
Well, all right. Just a second. Let me get these on first.
Well, what do you want to put on them colored glasses for? You won't be able to see your way to the telephone.
Well, don't you see what I'm doing, Mom? If that is the voice and I answer the phone with these on, he'll think he's got the wrong number.
Yeah, that's a good idea. What's the matter with me?
Hello? I can't hear nothing.
Well, naturally, you got the receiver about 3 foot from your ear. Put it up closer.
Oh, hello? Oh, well, howdy, Elizabeth.
Elizabeth.
Yeah, I got you all right.
That's a relief.
Oh, well, you needn't worry about that. Well, that's plumb silly, Elizabeth. Just don't think no more about it. Oh, I'll get home tonight, all right. Well, you just stop worrying now. All right, honey. I will. Goodbye.
Well, now, there's a thoughty woman for you. Worried for fear the voice will get you, huh?
No, she ain't worried about that. She's worried for fear Cedric will get me.
Cedric?
Yeah, she don't trust him with that loaded shotgun. She's trying to get me to stop having him for my bodyguard.
Yeah, I don't blame her too much. Does look a little silly, Abner, walking around with him following you that way.
Just so as I can keep walking around. That's all I'm interested in. I don't care how I look. She's trying to tell Elizabeth that, too, but she still insists that I get shut of him.
Well, I don't see why it makes that much difference to her.
I don't either. She don't make no fuss around the house at all. Sleeps good and sound all night long.
All night? Does he sleep over your place, too?
Why, natural. That's when a fella's in the most danger.
Well, I'll swan to you, good.
Sleeps right outside the bedroom door. Don't make hardly any noise at all. Oh, snores a little. Maybe.
Well, where does he sleep? On the floor?
Well, Elizabeth shook down a pallet for him, man. Gave him plenty of blankets and comforters. Keep him warm. He's comfortable.
Well, that was nice. Thought he ever.
Say, I believe it's starting to rain out there, man. I'd better run along before it starts pouring any harder.
Well, it is coming down pretty hard.
Yes, it is. I'm going to make a dash for it. I'll see you men later.
Yeah, so long, Squire. Dang it. I hope we don't get no cloudburst out of this.
Well, looks like it might be a gully washer. He's sure coming down. Better let my bodyguard in before he gets washed away, too.
You better let him go on home, Abner. That's what you better do.
Well, I can't now, Lon. He's paid up till tomorrow afternoon.
Well, now, there's another thing. You can't afford to hire no bodyguard. You ain't got that kind of money. Special now that we've lost the bus business, Luke Spears.
Well, that ain't my fault. You went to that meeting the other day like you supposed to. Why, you might have talked that bus executive into giving the business back to us.
But it was your fault I never went.
I was the one that tried to get you to go to it.
Yeah, but I thought you were just setting some kind of a trap for me, trying to make me go out of the front door there so Cedric could take a shot at me.
Oh.
If you'd have told me that he was your bodyguard instead of being so secret about it, I never would have thought that about you.
Well, how did I know what you thought? Because you're right for thinking such things about me.
Well, ain't no use to argue about it now, I reckon. We done lost the business, and ain't nothing we can do about it now. Might have to close up the restaurant, I don't know.
Help, Cedric!
For pity's sake, Abner, get down off of that counter. Scared me half to death.
Well, what happened?
That was just thunder.
Oh, maybe I thought sure the voice would throw the hand grenade at me. Why would you help me get down off of this counter?
Why should I help you?
Well, you put me up here.
I never done no such a thing.
Well, you must have. I couldn't have got up there by myself. I've never been able to jump this high my whole life.
Well, just wait till it thunders again and get down the same way you got up.
Now, well, come on now. Give me a hand.
I'm going to enter you in the high jumping contest at the Independence Day picnic.
Yeah, maybe you better wait and see how the weather is, Mom. Better wait to see if I'm still alive by then, too.
Oh, you'll be alive. You're going to let that voice get you so tore up, Adam. More than likely, all it is just somebody just trying to prank us.
Well, I don't know. He sure picked out a terrible subject to be pranking about, that death and disaster.
Yeah, but I don't believe it means nothing. Look how many calls he's made, and ain't nothing happened to you.
No, but you never can tell about these things, neither of them. So just when them mysterious voices get the call up around town there, I'll have you the odd.
Well, don't cross your bridge before you come to
him. I ain't crossing nothing. I'm just a worried man. That's all I am.
My notion's on this whole thing.
Look, listen to that. That's a fire alarm.
As many as it is.
Oh, my goodness alive. That's it sure as well.
Well, don't get your head excited.
Uh-huh.
It might just be Dick Huddleston making an announcement about a sale or something.
Oh.
Hello? How's that? Well, I'll be Dad Blaine. Hi, Granny Zedner. That's what it is, all right.
Huh?
Earl Pomeroy's barn's on fire. Struck by lightning.
On fire? I know that, and the boss warned him just last night about that. That thing means business. Take care of it. Bodyguard, come in here.
Well, maybe Abner's bodyguard isn't such a bad idea after all.